This evening we're gonna talk about a life worth living. So to start off with, I want to look at Genesis 2:7, Genesis 2:9, and then we'll quickly move over to Deuteronomy 20. So as we see, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed of man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:9 tells us, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. And if we look over in Deuteronomy 30:20, thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is the life and the strength of my days, that thou mayest dwell in the land in which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So when you wake up in the morning, how do you feel? Are you physically, emotionally, you know, what's your reason for wanting to get out of bed? What kind of attitude do you start your day with? These are all good questions, and this evening I want to tell you a little bit about what makes life worth living. John 10:10, talk about Jesus is for life, but John 10:10 says, the thief Satan cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And if you look at John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whatsoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. So, three things real quick. God is, one, the giver of life, amen, abundant life, and he's also the giver of eternal life. Share a quick illustration with you. Father was had his two sons with him and was taking them to the county fair. And so they get to the fair, and father goes up, and they go to the fair, and they go to the midway, and the father buys both of his sons an armband or a wristband. Anyway, so the boys get to the fair, and they're inside, and they're wandering around, and they're watching all the people, and they're seeing everybody laughing, smiling, and having a good time, and they're all riding the rides. And so the boys kept wandering around through the midway, and the more they walked around and stuff, the more excited they got about how good those rides looked and how much fun those people appeared to be having. But then they said to themselves, hey, that would be fun, that would be neat, but we don't have any money to buy tickets. And so they went around a little more during at the midway, watching rides and watching people on the rides. And then all of a sudden, the two boys said to themselves, hey, man, I wish our father would just come back and get us out of this place. And so it wasn't long after that, the boys are still wandering around, watching all the people, having fun, being excited about all the rides, you know, to and fro. You could You could just tell their stomachs were light when the ride started going and stuff. And all of a sudden, they heard their father. And the father said to the boys, "Hey, boys, what are you doing?" He said, "We're over here. We're just watching the people have fun on all the rides." He said, "Well, why aren't you riding the rides?" He said, "Because we don't have any money to buy tickets." And so the father said, "Sons, don't you know you don't have to buy tickets? Don't you know that they're included in the price I've already paid?" Sadly, there's a lot of Christians that are just like that. They walk around miserable, seeing others at peace, seeing others filled with joy, seeing others content and free. They're miserable as they watch others full of assurance, victory, and blessing. Oh, it all looks so inviting. So we say, "Hey, yeah, that looks exciting, that's inviting." But they just don't see how they can pay for it. They stand around wishing their father would come and get them out of this place. Maybe they hear his voice. And the father asks, "Why aren't you enjoying yourself? We can't afford the tickets." They continued. And the father responds, "Don't you know that they are included in the price I've already paid for you?" Jesus did more than just save you. He gave you a life of blessing. He did more than just reserve you a place in heaven. He gave you a wonderful, anointed life here on earth.
Amen.
Don't you know many Christians walk around with a brightly colored spiritual armband, but they're not riding the ride? They're at the carnival, but they're not riding any of the rides. Friend, Jesus died to give you life. Abundant life. He promises you peace, joy, contentment, assurance, victory, and confidence. Don't be satisfied to simply wear the armband. Get on the ride. Again, what makes a life worth living? Some time back, I discovered this refrain that I like to share with you. Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other Father or Master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee above. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary all of my sin and my disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. Living for Jesus brings joy, contentment, peace, brings satisfaction, and it brings many blessings. The word of life, if you look with me in Philippians 2:16, says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. He gives understanding, he gives us goals, and he gives direction to us. So in conclusion or closing, you can have a life worth living. It's totally up to you this evening. Eternal life is a gift that you must receive. And we'll close with a passage from John 5, 1 John 5, 11 through 13. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not light. These things I have written unto you that believe, that you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Yes. So I ask you this evening, won't you please receive Jesus Christ into your heart? Revelations 20:15 says, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with it, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So let's all, let's go to have another word of prayer before we break off into our prayer groups. Dear Lord, please bless us again as we come before you humbly in your house. Please pray for all of the prayer requests that we mentioned earlier. Pray for our church, Lord, as we seek and search the pastor that you have for us. We know that this will be on your time, and when the time is right, you'll share that person with us and who they are. And again, it's not on our timetable, Lord, but we lift it up to you, and we just ask your help in identifying that person, which you probably already have, and lead them to us here at this church. These things we humbly ask in your name. Amen.